I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Who are the coolest dudes on the planet?
United States veterans.
What's the coolest sport on the planet?
Pro wrestling.
And what would be the coolest podcast on the planet? That would be this one.
U.S. military vets talking pro wrestling.
This is the No Shave Man Cave. Two badass disabled vets sharing their love of pro wrestling, giving you their perspective as fans, talking about current events and matches, history of titles, and who knows what else. Let's do it.
Welcome to the No Shave Men Cave. Now your hosts, Ellie Chair and Jay Tilly.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, wrestling fans, and sports entertainment fans, welcome to just a razzmatazz, funky like a monkey, week in review for professional wrestling. I'm Ellie Jair.
I'm Jay Tilly.
Man, talk to me about the week in wrestling.
Yeah, it's life got in the way, so we didn't really get to record much. So there's quite a bit, from CM Punk rumors to sales projected sales figures for the All In show, some rumors about Drew McIntyre or Drew Gallo or whatever he's going by. Yeah. Yeah. Becky Lynch's cryptic tweet. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But since you and I didn't get to talk about Dynamite, though, just real quick, what'd you think of the Dynamite show?
It was so close to being like a 4.5 beard show, and it just sort of lost me. Like, when they would cut to commercial, I was waiting for something to happen. The crowd was popping. I don't know if you saw Britt's moneymaker today. She's got a gnarly black eye from getting worked over. And I was just waiting. It just seemed like something was missing. And like, when I went back and reflected on it, it was, they were playing to like the 7,000 people that were in the crowd instead of the 800-900 million people watching. And I felt left out as like a fan. So the crowd was great. Like, the timing of the commercials, there was only one spot where the commercials got a little wonky. The energy of the crowd, though, was fan-freaking-tastic. And it may be because the Rampage is on Saturday, so they didn't do like additional tapings and stuff. So they were still juiced to the nines and ready to go. So I wanted to see Jamie Hayter. Like I said in our episode, haters are going to hate. And I've got a really funny Haterade shirt. And not seeing her get the shine, but seeing Britt get the win and Ruby tapping, I felt like that was a blow-off match, but it can't be a blow-off match. So all in all, I gave it 3 beards. I thought the crowd did their part. The boys and girls did their part. It was a little bit rushed to the point where you could hear the producers and the referees yelling, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. So they rushed some stuff. And, but yeah, I mean, I like the wrestling was really fun. I didn't think the segment with the Blackpool and Elite went too long. It actually, you know, could have breathed a little bit. And then same thing with Adam Cole and Britt. I wish they would have let that breathe a minute because I was so confused because next thing I know, I'm like, wait a minute, where's the kendo stick? Is that Matt and Jeff Hart? Like, woo. So I was in a whirlwind, like a turnstile, like, oh, wait a minute. I don't want to pinch a finger. Like, so, yeah, fun show, great crowd, good wrestling. I really enjoyed the first, I actually enjoyed the front end of Jungle Jack, MJF, Guevara, and, you know, it didn't irritate me until later when MJF gave him a blank check and I sort of saw or felt like a little tweak in character with Darby sort of pushing the envelope, almost like a heel. But I think he's going to be a smart face, sort of walk the line like Sting did when he was versing or the adversary of the NWO because he's in the rafters like right, Sting was. Right. So, but yeah. So, yeah, so that was my take, and, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I wish we could have done that podcast, because I had a completely different take on almost everything you said. I hated the Four Pillars stuff this week. I thought it took a step back from all the hard work they've been doing. I thought this was the worst Darby Allin. He needs to sit down and do his promos, because I thought this promo was terrible. The woohoo when he didn't have to fight was way out of character. I almost felt like this was a rewrite, like something like Vince McMahon got a hold of the script or something, because it just felt off. And then from that point on, it was just kind of rough. I thought the Hater, Britt Baker, Ruby, Tony Storm match was banging. I was very impressed with that match.
Did you think it needed more time?
No, I think it did its job. I think it did. I think, and I loved the little details of Hater getting her arm smashed and getting taken to a local medical facility and then not being able to there to save Britt Baker later in the show.
So this is one of the things that I had the issue with, though. So like, so Britt is your sort of your, I would say, your fifth pillar.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily disagree with her getting like a abnormal shine, but you have Jamie Hayter, who's your world champion,
mm-hmm.
who takes one shot to the stairs. Oh, they're steel stairs. Okay, fine. There's steel stairs. But you have Britt Baker takes a title shot to the head, a inverted DDT meets brain buster, and ends up submitting Ruby Soho. And then she comes out, gets caned, worked to the nines. So it was like, I don't think the production in the back should have been even. So she took a shot to the stairs, but Britt took like three monumental things.
Right.
And then a bunch of kendos and all this other stuff. But yet, yeah, I think it just didn't resonate with me. And you almost like relegated the world champion below Britt, below.
See, I think that was on purpose.
What's that?
I think that's all on purpose. I think this is all still building to Britt turning on her eventually.
I don't disagree with you one bit. I think there's going to be a turn. I think Hater's going to turn on Britt. Britt will be the face because Cole's the face, and it's a known that they're the onesie twosie. They're the Steve Macklin and Virtuoso power couple, and you have Seth freaking Rollins and Becky, the power couple. And, but yeah, I will say Britt looked significantly stronger and crisper in the ring this week, if for whatever that's worth on top. Like, I feel like I'm piling on it because, like, I wasn't there. I will never be there. I'll never hit the ropes. I'll never do a swanton as much as that was like my life stream.
You could do one into the pool.
Yeah, I'll have to get a trampoline to do it in my pool. But the promos I felt were really great. The crowd was into it. I really liked the, you know, how you were saying like the whole match, but I really think that Britt and Hayter should have taken the L.
Yeah, they're not going to do that to Britt at hometown. That's one thing Tony Khan is really good about, is giving the hometown shines. I thought the details of her getting hurt so that she wasn't there to help Britt later was good. I did have issues with the Britt attack. I mean, they should have bloodied her up. Like, they should have made that brutal. We've all seen kendo sticks, so I was just like, eh. I mean, I wish they'd have, like, concertoed her and just beat her bloody, I think.
Yeah, and then she didn't go, and then she didn't post any photos on Twitter until, like, almost 20 hours later.
Yeah.
She should have still been, like, shiny from sweat, showing the lash marks from the kendo. I will say that they probably need to have a conversation with Saraya, because a couple of those swings looked a little personal, and she wasn't using the body of the stick. She was using the end.
Yep.
And I didn't, I felt a certain kind of way about that. And like, I would be, like, if I was in the back and they were like, hey, producers, here's what we're going to do. Pencil, 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 blah, 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 bump and feed. Here's what's going to happen. Love you, got to go by. Okay, fine. Hey, I am trusting you with my body. Okay, love you. High five. They go to the back. And then you listen to the heat, like what Thunder Rosa is getting. Oh, she's stiff. She's this. She's that. She's difficult to work with. And then you see what Britt got stuck with. So I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, those kind of things happen. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I just thought, I thought they could have, like I said, made it a little more violent, a little more brutal. I loved the JAS teaming up with the Outcast. It makes sense. The Takeshita save for the Blackpool Combat Club.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. I think he's going to turn on him and join the Blackpool Combat Club.
I knew you were smiling ear to ear. I was bugging when Callis came out, and he looked like he never took.
Yeah, I was like, where's his scar?
Yeah, he never took 70 staples to his head. And yeah, he's got some good makeup. Find, yeah, makeup. Like, why makeup that? I think that would be an awesome part of the story. And when they were showing medical taking care of him, and they moved the skin, I was like, "Woo, doctor, please." And I mean, they should have called Finn Balor's doctors who were putting numbing agents, because dude was split.
Yeah, and, it was gnarly looking.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought that was really good. I knew you were smiling ear to ear during that. I was like, oh, yep. JT is going to explode.
I enjoyed that. And so there's another thing, minor thing happening in the Twitter sphere and a little bit online, or a little bit on the show, that I don't think is as little. So during MJF in the beginning, talking about, oh, I hate being here in Pittsburgh and, you know, Britt Baker sucks. I don't think that's a throwaway line. I really think they're going to build a feud between Adam Cole and MJF, because Britt Baker and MJF have been going back and forth on Twitter a lot. She talks about how much she hates him and he doesn't work well. And he's talking about how she's not a good wrestler. I absolutely think they're slowly building subconsciously to us fans that Adam Cole's going to finally go, all right, I'm done. Like, stop talking about my, you know, keep her name out your mouth moment, because I caught that line and then I've been kind of catching the Twitter beef and I'm like, okay. Slowly, again, AEW laying those seeds out there to slowly build a feud, because he hasn't mentioned Adam Cole. He hasn't said anything specific about Adam Cole. It's all been about Britt Baker. And even in an interview just recently when with Sean Ross Sapp, he said, one of the pillars, but she's trash. And I was just like, okay.
I'm twice her size. I'd kick her effing ass.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, dude, whoa. Simmer down, bro.
So I don't think all that's by accident at all. So that part's going to be very interesting as we move on and go forward. I think it's something to keep an eye on. Again, I still think Adam Cole is going to be the one to take it from MJF down the road, whether it's all out at the end of the year or whenever it's going to be. But
so, like, we talk about the pillars and we talk about the build for AEW, and, you know, you and I, more so you than I, were basically there from its inception on. And I remember seeing Jericho talk about how he was all elite. And I thought that was more significant, probably more significant than almost anything that I have experienced, like, in recent years. And, you know, he made a deal with Vince that he would never wrestle in North America for another company. He went off to New Japan, did his you know, Painmaker thing. Was very successful. Held the most beautiful title in all of wrestling, the New Japan United States title. You know, had some bangers over there. Picked up a new finisher, and bam, there he is on American television. Your inaugural AEW champion, and just did a phenomenal job. And you know, now here he is. And not that you don't forget that he was WWE. Not that you forget that he was a undisputed champion, and he beat The Rock. He beat Stone Cold. He beat Triple H. And, you know, we just talked, how long ago was it? Less than a month ago. We have a Jericho problem.
Yep.
And you were like, hey, hey, you know, slow your roll. And he hasn't separated himself from the JAS, but he hasn't done any like shenanigans with JAS for the last couple of weeks. So it's like, okay, cool. This week I felt it was pretty significant. It was different. It was special, and it wasn't like any other. Yeah. I just don't feel like it was different. I don't feel like it just feels different. If I can't explain it. Just felt,
no, I agree.
It felt different.
They've built this Adam Cole, Chris Jericho thing very differently than they have everything else they've done with Jericho. So I absolutely agree. I felt like, okay, this is a new way to approach this. And then they heated it really quick with the attack. So yeah, I think this is a good feud that they're building for sure. I thought Dynamite was decent. I hated the four pillar stuff. I hated the end, the impromptu match and all that other garbage. I did not like any of that. So I ended up, like, I know we didn't get to talk about it in an official review, but I think I only gave it 3.5 beards myself. It wasn't high on my list of top tier Dynamites, even though there was some good stuff on it, some great stuff on it. Everything was kind of like, but like, this is really good, but, or this was really good, except, and I thought that kind of took away from the show a little bit. Like the pillars match at the end, those two had one of the best matches I've seen, but I didn't like the ending with MJF and the, like,
yeah, that was dumb. That there was no need for that. There's no money to be made with that. The only money that could be made, and I'm trying to figure out how to do it because I know how my WWE brain would do it, but Tony Khan doesn't generally come out and show his face and contradict, you know, what the officials say. And, you know, on Rampage, Mark Henry's like, well, there's enough talking. But I think it needs to be a four-way dance. Everybody needs to get their stuff in. Someone needs to get bloodied up. MJF comes out the other end. And then Guevara separates himself from the JAS. Darby sort of starts going off on this other tangent, separates himself from Sting. And now Jungle Jack needs to figure out where he is in the world. He'll be a multi-time TNT champion until he has his roots. And so what'd you think of the Wardlow winning the TNT title?
I was okay with it. I liked the way they did it. I liked the Arn Anderson twist. I didn't see that coming. I think it goes to back to Tony Khan listening to the fans and going, ooh, this QTV thing's not working. I do think that title is just not as good as it could be. And maybe putting it on Wardlow and letting him just have a really good run for a while will be fine.
Do you think they resurrect the Four Horsemen?
Yeah, you know, they hinted at that. I'm not sure. I can't think of anybody else that the four would be, unless, yeah, I don't know. They could. They got enough factions, though. I don't know that they'll do that. Because I have a feeling, and we can get into this when we talk about some of the other stuff happened during the week. But it was okay. I mean, I enjoyed the match. I thought the match was good, and I didn't want either one to lose. So it was kind of a weird match going into it. But during the match, I was okay with, if they're going to reboot Hobbs and go, okay, let's get him away from QTV, maybe bring him out as a babyface or whatever they're going to do. I was okay with it. You know, I thought it was an okay win. It didn't hurt my feelings.
What'd you think about the crowd?
I think the crowd was pissed off at the pillar stuff to start the show and then came alive during the women's match with Britt Baker. So, because I felt like even the crowd, it was quiet. And I think some of that was the promos had no oomph to them.
Okay.
They were just kind of...
happened.
All three of them was some of the worst delivery I'd seen.
Wow.
And that's why I think something changed or something happened or they had to rewrite something, because it's not very Tony Khan-y to do one, a promo train like that, to two, have it just kind of so flat, to three, have it set up an impromptu match at the end of the show. There was just, it was very WWE for me. And it, I was just like, ugh. But I thought the crowd definitely came alive when Britt Baker came out and we did that match. And I thought from then on, they were into everything. I mean, Wardlow is a hometown guy too. So they were into that, everything with the Elite and Blackpool Combat Club. I did think, Omega's promo was a little soft. I thought it was odd because he's usually on. I don't know. The whole show just had this weird feeling about it. So I don't know. Like I said, I gave it about 3.5 beards. I was just kind of disappointed in a lot of the show itself.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry that, you know, you weren't feeling it. Cause I was thinking deep down inside, you were just shine, like glowing. Especially when Takeshka came out. So I mean,
right there is 5 beards, but yeah. I judged it as the show in general. And there was just a little weird things. I don't know. It was just a very strange Dynamite for me. And I don't want to say it was bad, because I don't think it was bad, but it was not top tier for me.
Yeah.
What do you, so going on to other stuff happening in the week, because this ended up becoming a Dynamite review, which we weren't going to do, but so we can spend some time talking to some other stuff. What do you think this collision is going to be?
So, yeah, I think this will be a very self-servient montage dedication to the Punk that is CM. And I don't, hopefully they have their own title. And it's one of those things where CM Punk isn't carrying the title like what we expected Tony to just put the title on Cody. And it will be a step above Rampage, where it will be a greenish organization, and it won't be like an ROH collision, like it won't be AEW versus ROH every week. Because when Tony bought ROH, he said they're going to be separate, they're going to be distinct, they're going to be different. And production-wise and theme-wise and product-wise, they are different than Ring of Honor. So hopefully they stick by that. And, you know, if you look at Raw, and I was like, the whole time, I don't want to compare Collision and Dynamite to Raw and SmackDown, but you're going to have two separate shows with what I would think would be separate titles. And I don't want them to just carry the TNT title over. They need to come out with a brand new title and, you know, establish it as their title. It won't be, you know, freshly squeezed going over and going, I'm the champ of Collision. Because then they're like, well, wait a minute, you were the number three title over here, so this is the number three show? No. So that's probably the only, I don't know, confusing thing. And I'm fine if we never see CM Punk again, and that's probably my jam on it. But CM Punk means that we're going to see FTR, which means, you know, like, I don't know. So I don't want factions to float over. So now you're only going to see FTR on Saturday, because there's like, and this is all, like you said, in the Twitterverse, CM Punk has been directed to stay away from the Elite. What? And like I tweeted, and I've been trying to do a better job with putting Ellie Jair says, you know, wait a minute, you guys work together. And then I think to myself, well, wait a minute. I work with some people
I stay away from
that I don't generally Wonder Twins activate with, but I don't have to make like this, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm almost confused about what they're going to do, but I think they'll work it out.
I hope Collision is just another AEW show. I don't want to see a brand split. And I still, in my fantasy dream world booking, want to see CM Punk come out on June 12th at the United Center in Chicago and walk up to Bryan Danielson and give him a hug and say, hey, thanks for taking this on for me, and him joining the BCC.
Wow.
And you've got Punk, Mox, which will be rough anyway because he said some shit about Moxley too. But, you know, you then set up Punk, Mox, you know, Claudio and Yuta and Danielson versus the Elite plus whoever, Takeshita, I guess, is different, or Hangman or whoever it's going to be. I just, like, be adults, man. Like, we all fight with people and get over it, because the amount of money they can make is amazing. You mean to tell me some WWE guy that never watches AEW is going to hear about All In at Wimbledon Stadium, not the arena, and 90,000 people going to see this show, and it's going to be CM Punk? I know that name. Or let's say he's working Chris Jericho, let's say, because that's one of the rumors too. 90,000 people, Chris Jericho, CM Punk. I guarantee you're going to get some eyes on that product. And CM Punk versus Kenny Omega writes itself. I'm really nervous about the brand split, because I mean, I guess it makes sense. My concern is, I agree, I think they need titles for each show. However, now you're talking, what, 8 titles between the two shows? And then are they going to take the WWE thing and hold a draft so you can mix up the rosters occasionally? Are they going to, when they hire new people, say, well, this person's only going to be on Collision? Are they, I'm concerned about that, because I want to see FTR versus the Young Bucks again. But if you put FTR on Collision with you know, so are you going to move the trio titles there? So we're never going to get to see CM Punk FTR versus the House of Black, or are we never going to see the Elite versus the House of Black again? Where's Death Triangle going to go? Like, there's all these questions. And I trust AEW. I trust Tony Khan. I trust the Elite. I trust CM Punk. They all have beautiful wrestling brains, so I'm sure they're working it all out. Yeah. I just, it absolutely worries me in some extent of, if they don't pull this off right, it could ruin AEW.
Dude, yeah. Because now you have to hire a whole second production crew. You have to purchase all additional ring advertisement, you know, pillar to post, everything, whatever. And I think that's May 17th is like the inaugural show. So, you know, you want the production to be, you know, top shelf. TBS, TNT, you know, they're paying, you know, to the nines on that. So you're going to have Rampage. I'm sorry. So let's back this up. So you're going to have Dark Elevation. You're going to have Elevation. You're going to have Dynamite. You're going to have All Access. And you're going to have Collision.
And Rampage.
And you're going to have Rampage. So there's, you know, I would assume, spell assume, make an ass out of you and me. I would assume that Collision is going to be 2 hours. Dynamite is 2 hours. And then you have All Access, Elevation, Dark Elevation, and Rampage. So you're looking at, what, 9 hours of professional wrestling and sports, like the All Access. I would consider that some sports entertainment. And they've got the fat roster. They've got the Ring of Honor situation going on. They're working a deal with Paramount. They do the tapings for Ring of Honor before they do Dynamite. So are they going to do tapings before Dynamite and before Collision? So now, which is going to work better for the folks that they hire or bring on for Ring of Honor? But it's like you said, like, I don't want to make this just about one single show, but this is a huge thing for professional wrestling. And you have hundreds of indie wrestlers that are out there making the grind. So this is good, because this is another couple of hours of exposure. This offers the opportunity for Tony Khan to go, hey, I'm going to move some guys from Ring of Honor to AEW. I have some wrestlers that are on AEW that probably need to tune up a little bit. So I'm either going to put them on Dark Elevation, Elevation, or Ring of Honor. And maybe I'm just caught up with the title thing, because I don't want to discredit whoever the champ is going to be. So I don't want them to just go, oh, hey, by the way, the TNT title is now your equivalent of world title. Wardlow, you're now the champion of Collision. Well, we just watched Wardlow get his hair cut, thrown through everything in the Atlanta zip code. And now all of a sudden, I don't
know. So. Well, one of the things they could do that would probably fix a lot of it, and maybe this is what they're going to do, is why not make Collision a Ring of Honor show? So now you've got Dynamite and Rampage. So you get your 2 hour Dynamite, your 1 hour Rampage. Cool. Let's make Collision the 2 hour Ring of Honor show. And then the weekly show that's on now is your hour show. Cause that would make sense. Cause then you can move your Ring of Honor champion up, and you could do things and give CM Punk Ring of Honor, give it to him, let him have it.
I mean, that's kind of what you talked about,
yeah,
you know, 6 months ago or whatever, but
so maybe, and then they are already separate brands. Oh. because he's doing a pretty good job other than Claudio right now, who's got the Ring of Honor title, which I think, well, before Kingston got hurt, I thought they were going to give it to Kingston, but
no, yeah, I think that was the plan. And then
yeah,
they were like,
but I could see like, maybe that's what they're going to do, right? Maybe AEW Collision is not going to be AEW Collision. It's going to be Ring of Honor Collision, and that'll be their 2-hour show, which would makes it easier than trying to have three different brands. Now you,
Oh, excuse me, now I see what you're saying.
You've got two.
Dude, that is, wow, that's a smart look at, yeah, that's a very educated look at it, because I didn't even look at it like, oh, geez, that's like a third.
It's a third brand.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're having AEW, let's say, Collision is a different thing, and then Ring of Honor, now he's got three brands. And the other thing is, Tony Khan ain't got enough time in the day to book all this.
Yeah.
So unless he's going to do, like, legit let CM Punk book Collision and give it to him, and then let the Elite book and run AEW, then yes, your shows are going to feel completely different. And I think it's a good thing. And maybe he just has final say, almost like the Vince McMahon, you know, all the, it kind of goes filters through him and he kind of gets a final say.
Wow.
But I just, I'm concerned. I think making it a Ring of Honor show would be the way to go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
You know, make it Ring of Honor's free show on TV so you're not paying for the subscription service.
Yeah. I'm just really leery of CM Punk and, you know, giving him the keys to the castle or the Cadillac or, you know, I'm getting ready to get an Audi. I would not give him my fob to set my mirrors and like radio and like,
yeah. I don't know. If you get him some good meds, he might be all right.
Maybe. Chicago is, I think they're open. We got some decent stuff.
We had a good time up there.
What street was that on? Green or?
No, I don't know. CBD. Yeah. Right downtown.
Yep. But no, yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm super excited and, you know, proud of the growth and the effort of the boys and girls and men and women over there in AEW world. The Blue Ivies and the Jade Cargills and the, you know, having the Stones to be able to sign Jay White and Taya Valkyrie, who just are two absolute gets for that company. And I love how they're pushing WWE. I was really hoping that NWA would be doing a little bit more than what they're doing. And, you know, and I don't know how much Impact, you know, our brothers and sisters and fam that are listening. Impact is just really starting to hit on all cylinders. And I think it's just a byproduct of what they're seeing and how they realize like, oh man, I got to keep up. I got to keep, you know, doing what they're doing, really pushing the envelope with their champions. Deonna Purrazzo is your women's champion. Macklin Semper Fi is our Impact World champion. That X Division title just really is really top notch. A lot of fun to watch. But then you look at AEW and that trio's title and your international champion, freshly squeezed, really bringing it. And if, you know, if Collision is going to be a second brand of AEW and not, I would make freshly squeezed your inaugural world champion for Collision.
So we said we're going to talk wrestling world. We spent 37 minutes talking to AEW.
Yeah, man. So AEW has kept us busy. You've got a lot of stuff going on. You know, they do a lot of great stuff when they get into those communities. and they hang out. They do a lot of really cool stuff and really improve. They make the place better than when they got there. The, you know, just right when you think everything is sort of quieting down with Thunder Rosa, she's on a weekly show where it almost feels like she stirs it back up. So she got kind of
all the work.
Yeah. So she got kind of cracked on a little bit this week. And I hope, like what I said, I hope they make this her injury part of the work. So kudos to AEW and what they got going on. They're keeping us, you know, keeping us hanging on almost every word. Then we roll into WWE and we had Monday Night Raw. We had NXT, a lot of stuff going on in social media, and Friday night SmackDown, which is, you know, kicking off here. And the show that they've got cooked up for Friday night SmackDown, I think everybody's going to really enjoy. Yeah. So that's that one's coming out of Ohio. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
What do you think about the rumors that they're going to do some mass firings here in AEW or in WWE?
So I'm sort of mixed about it, and I think it's all based on who they let go, and it will be sort of telling who they let go, the motivation and direction that they're doing based on who they let go. So if they come walking in and they go, hey, everybody that Vince let go right before he got caught up giving $13 million away, you guys are let go again.
Like Bray Wyatt and Io Sky and Dakota. And yeah.
And then you look at like, okay, so you're going to let Io Sky go. Well, wait a minute. Io Sky is about to challenge for your women's world title. Okay, so we're going to do a loser leave town match. It's just, you know, kind of hokey. Now, if you have boys and girls that are sitting at home or and I don't want to go, yeah, you know, cut the legends. I don't necessarily think. But if you've just got, you know, Legend 1 and Hall of Famer 2 on the payroll and you call them up and you go, hey, I need you to be in, you know, when's the next WWE show is going to be in Rosemont, Illinois. Hey, I need you to be in Illinois on the 24th. We're going to do a Raw. Oh, I got this thing. All right, bet. We'll send you a severance package. God save the queen. Love you. Got to go by. So, but some of the on-screen talent that has been rumored to be on the cusp of being let go, and you've got Mr. Nice Guy Bronson Reed, who's just, he's so freaking close. So close. And like, if you were to put the a tag team title on him, or you were to put the United States or Intercontinental title, give him a nice slow burn as that champion, he would make the title and the title would make him. And he may never be the world champion, which is whatever. Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig was never the world champion in WWE, although he was the AWA world champion. He's still a Hall of Famer. He still had some great matches. He still had some of the best promos.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, one, if it's a rumor and they're not going to fire anybody, or like you said, two, because it's not. So before the firings, it was Nick Khan, apparently, that was doing them. Like, literally just looking at a spreadsheet and going, these people, which is why it was some people that were in storylines or getting ready to be in storylines. And I'm curious, with Endeavor in charge, if it's going to be more of a, all right, you guys need to cut 10% or whatever the case is, and they're just going to go down the salary sheet. Wait, we pay him this much and this is how much time he's on screen. Bye. We pay this person this. All right, bye. Or, you know, I'm curious, or if it doesn't happen at all. So we'll see how that all shakes out. WWE is trying to build itself back up as the babyface company, because kind of AEW is doing that. And I think if they have all these mass firings again, it's going to be hard to justify that we're, I mean, they ruined it with not letting Cody win at WrestleMania anyway, but duh. If they,
here we go. Woosa.
I don't care, man. I still think it was the wrong choice.
I'm rubbing my pressure points.
Man, I just.
How about when, like Negative One was right there. He used the belt that he gave to Negative One. I hope Negative One at least got to take that belt home, but it's whatever. Now, can you capture lightning in a bottle twice? Well, from what I've read, I think it was Bill Nye, the science guy. I don't want to quote anyone. Lightning does not strike twice in the same location. Oh, well, we did WrestleMania in SoFi, and we're going to do SummerSlam in Detroit, so it's different. Dog.
Ain't winning it at SummerSlam.
Dog. Well,
I'm willing to bet he's still feuding with Brock Lesnar by SummerSlam.
No. Yeah, I think this will be we'll close it out in Puerto Rico.
Brock beats him in Puerto Rico, and then they have a rematch at SummerSlam.
No, he'll beat Brock Lesnar. We'll move on.
You're
going to
cry if Brock Lesnar beats him, aren't you?
No, it'll make sense, too, because he's the beast incarnate. He's the, you know, he can't challenge for the title, so he's even more upset. So he's going to hit him with 37 suplexes instead of 36. Or he'll hit him with, like, a specific number. Well, I've been a champion for 10 times. I've been a 10-time champion. So he'll suplex him 10 times, whatever.
Hey, fans, watch this. So what if Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble and is the one to beat Roman Reigns?
Next subject.
Oh, my God. You're right. What if he wins Money in the Bank?
Oh, man. Yeah.
You should, if you see the video, he just short-circuited a little. Hey, that would tell you right there whether it's Vince McMahon or Triple H booking.
Yeah. I think, so here's what I think. We're going to go into Puerto Rico and Backlash, and it is going to be a banger. And Cody will come out the victor. Then you'll go into the King of the Ring or the Night of Champions.
Isn't it the Saudi show coming up next?
Yeah. So
Night of Champions or whatever it is.
Yeah. So that's being referred to as Night of Champions.
Yeah.
And then you have Ladder. You have the
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. Thank you. I don't think Cody will be in the Saudi show. I'm trying to think of how to make sense with that. Night of Champions. Maybe he will. He could be competing for the U.S. title or I don't know. He could be on something, but I don't necessarily think so. Then you have the Money in the Bank in London. He'll be on that show, which he will go one-on-one with Solo. He will take Solo down the dirt road or whatever. What does he call it? Roads. What's his finisher?
Crossroads.
I just said dirty road.
I was like, what do you get at the dirty road?
What?
Don't make it weird.
Or do. So like Cody will come out on the other end. He'll defeat Solo. And we'll come into D-Town, and Cody will get his comeuppance. Even though there is no historical relevance or association, and the only way that this would warm, as they say on What Culture, my tum tum, is because he didn't win it at WrestleMania. The only way that it absolutely makes sense is for Cody to win it in Madison Square Garden. So
cool.
I want him to win it at SummerSlam. My heart is 97.75% sure that he's gonna win it, but I could see some kind of chicanery, and we don't get that. But
so I'll pose this to you. When has Brock Lesnar ever been in a feud that is a one and done match? Oh wait. Yeah. So I do not see this Brock Lesnar thing going away quick. I think it's, and this is what irks me. If they'd have given him the title, they could have run this damn thing through SummerSlam, because now it's a title run thing for Brock. I think I'm standing behind. So either Brock beats Cody in a squash like he did John Cena, or you get Cody going over and Brock loses his mind and injures Cody, quotation mark, maybe breaks his leg to mimic his dad's stuff.
Oh,
you know?
My God. That would be so. Oh, my God. I just peed a little bit.
So, but
dude,
Brock, then you're going to have
Brock has him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, this is so smart. So Brock has him. He's thumping and stumping. It is or is not a cage match. It isn't. It is or is not a no DQ. It isn't. Match ends. Cody wins, but the bloodline comes out, breaks his leg. No one can get to him to help. Now he's on the shelf for however long. And all the, like, have you watched some of the documentaries about Dusty, how he actually would go around the house with that cast on his leg?
Yeah.
And it was cut so he could slip it on. So his friends and family weren't even sure. They were like, damn, he's got that cast on. Oh, I hope he's okay. Whatever. he'd wear it to bed. Like, he was living the character.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the way you go. And then you get Cody off TV for a while, although a broken leg takes a long time to heal. So, but maybe an injured leg or.
But at the medical facility.
Yeah, they do magic stuff.
Cryogenics or some shit. Yay. Okay.
I mean, maybe I can see the Brock Lesnar thing being 3 or 4 matches.
Okay.
I don't think Roman loses until next WrestleMania. I don't. I think he rides it out. I think your SummerSlam main event is going to end up being maybe match 3 of the Cody Brock, and it'll be some gimmicked up match. I mean, maybe it'll be Solo and Cody.
Oh,
but
man, where Cody has to out-wrestle Brock, because we're going to play on Cody's collegiate scholastic wrestling skills. Yeah.
But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. I'm curious.
Homie, don't play that. We got the tag team titles off of the Usos, which I think there is like a decent chance they win them back in Puerto Rico. Actually, in Texas, they have a match in Texas this week. There's a decent chance that they win them back because the chase is much better than the defense. So we'll see what comes with that. So yeah, I mean, how about this? Talk to me about what you thought about Trish's promo.
Oh yeah, I think we covered it on Monday, but I thought it was a decent promo. I think her turning heel was good. Curious to see the work with her and Becky in the ring to see how much of that ring rust she's got. And that's a Backlash too, right?
Yep. No, so Backlash it's SummerSlam.
Oh, they pushed it to SummerSlam.
Yeah, they don't
okay.
touch till SummerSlam. So Trish is dealing with a torn hammy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was decent. I thought her assets were out in front, and she was able to play to those assets.
Yeah, she looked really smart. She had some,
and it was it was a good promo. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, when she backed up and she was like, "This is not a sidekick."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh my god, that was awesome!" Like, I don't like. Yeah, I mean, you could be. Like whatever demographic you could like a man, woman, both. That's how you roll. That didn't even matter. The wrestling brain in me, when she stepped back and she was like, "Hey, this is not a sidekick." I was like, "That, yeah, you, I love you. You are a fan. You're fantastic on the mic, and I freaking can't stand it." And I like the character work that Becky is doing, and. It almost seems real, and you're trying to like figure out what part of her is upset. Yeah, we'll see what comes of it, because I'm really excited to really see what they can do with the build up, like, you know, pay per view by pay per view, because now we're getting ready to roll into Money in the Bank. And I thought it was kind of ironic that they're sitting there popping off about we sold this many tickets in this amount of time. Just as AEW was about to sell out Wembley and the O2 Arena, they sold, I don't know, 37,000 tickets. I was like, I don't know. That was kind of weak. But
who's your pick to win Money in the Bank?
So Money in the Bank on the men's side is going to be L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then on the women's side, I think it's going to be Chelsea Green.
Okay.
Wishful thinking will bring out Matt Cardona, but
I was thinking of returning Alexa Bliss.
Oh man, that'd be awesome too. That'd be really good too. But considering she's so closely linked to what's happening with Bray Wyatt,
I have a feeling they're dropping that altogether. I may be wrong, but
I hope they do. I hope they bring Bray back and just completely eliminate the Fiend, the Playhouse, and he just gets back to being. Freaking Bray, freaking stinking Wyatt, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. So
cool. We'll have to do a podcast based on we'll have to do a Money in the Bank podcast coming up.
Oh heck yeah!
But
we'll swing by, maybe grab some burbs.
Yeah, maybe with one of our live shows. Breaking news. I believe our first live show is the same date as Backlash. So
you didn't know.
So so we'll have that coming down the pipeline. Part of the Fantasy Sports Corporation. Shout out to those guys and letting us join them and giving us some time on their network to talk about some wrestling.
Some wrestling. So
excited to do that.
Heck yeah.
And at this point in the show, going to go through my standard stuff. Please make sure you are subscribing, leaving comments, and enjoying our podcast wherever you get podcasts from. We drop almost daily content. Sometimes life does get in the way, but we try to drop a daily show, whether it is a review of your WWE or AEW shows, or it's just us talking about what's going on in wrestling. Follow us on all your socials at No Shave Man Cave, wherever you want to. It's whether it's a TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're pretty active on the Twitter first there, so you can follow us there. We have not paid for the blue check mark, but we're there. You'll know us. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening. And again, everywhere you get your podcast from, give us those 5-star reviews and leave a comment. Let us know what you think so we can get better or get worse based on your feedback. And with that, I am going to hot tag out for Ellie Chair and the finisher.
You set me up just right, my friend, my sir, my tag team partner. So as we say every time we log out, thank you very much to our brothers and sisters in arms for your service, for your dedication, your families. You know, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we do. Some gave all gave some. And thank you so much to our champions of professional wrestling. Thank you so much for grinding, to our current Impact World Champion, Semper Fi, Devil Dog. Congratulations on your victory. Steve Macklin, good stuff. Check him out on social media. He's a pretty good follow. Tyus over at NWA, he's pretty funny as well. And we've got some exceptional champions out there in all of our organizations. So as we do every time, if you are in crisis, please do not suffer in silence. Look for help. Get the help that you so very much deserve. Dial 988 if you're in crisis. If you're a veteran, please hop on the va.org. If you have the My Healthy Vet app, just tap that red banner on the bottom and you will be connected with what you need. So until next time, my friends, my fam, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll see you on the floor.
You've been listening to the No Shave Man Cave.
If it's pro wrestling, we're talking about it. Unless we see something shiny and wander off into the woods. If you hang around long enough, we'll eventually come back. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Fire off your comments and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at No Shave Man Cave. Y'all be cool. And we'll see you next time on the No Shave Man Cave.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.